If you have a Bible, please open it to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This message, just to warn you, this isn't going to be a normal type of Sunday morning message. This message this morning will be a topical message about youth ministry. It's not going to be a proof text for what youth ministry should look like. Obviously, 2 Timothy isn't designed as a proof text for youth ministry. 2 Timothy is actually a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, a young pastor in his 30s who was like a spiritual son to Paul. We'll look at this text and we're going to consider how it applies to youth ministry. But even, let me just encourage you, even if you're not in the youth ministry, even if you're a single here or a young couple with kids not in the youth ministry, I'd encourage you to still listen and listen for the biblical principles that are found in this passage that do still apply to you directly. So let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14 together. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this Sunday. Thank you for your mercy that is new to us today. God, we are filled with joy. We're filled with gratefulness this morning as we just consider your faithfulness and your love to us as a church, as we see the gospel go forward to another generation. And God, we turn our attention back to you now and we just say thank you. We are the grateful recipients of your love, your kindness, your mercy on us as a church, as a youth ministry. And we ask that through this message, we ask that through what is shared this morning, that you, God, would be honored, that you, God, would be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The name of our youth ministry is 1031. If you're new here, you may hear 1031 thrown around. This is actually what we call our youth ministry. It's taken from our theme verse in 1 Corinthians 10:31, which states, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We chose this name because it accurately aligns the youth ministry with the core theological belief that man's primary purpose, our primary purpose for existence, is to bring glory to our Creator. That is why we are here. So this name, 1031, and the central idea of the exaltation of God's honor, God's fame, confronts the worldly mindset that says life is about us. And that's why I love this name, because it constantly reminds us of this truth. Life isn't about us. Life is about the glory of God. And this mindset that says life is ultimately about you and me and our feelings, our desires, it's especially aggressive in the teen years, where our culture places teens' needs, wants, desires at the center of the universe. So our name is a constant reminder. It's a constant pushback against that lie, and a constant reminder to place God's glory at the center of who we are and what we do. That's why we call ourselves 1031. So our goal as a youth ministry is not cultural relevance. We're not trying to play to the latest trend, but we want to be biblically faithful. We would be doing our youth ministry a huge disservice. I would be doing you, teens, a huge disservice if I in any way lowered the bar for you and held out to you a watered-down gospel. I in no way want to do that, because I believe that every true disciple, including a teenager, including young people, regardless of your age, every true disciple is called to know God deeply, to think about God deeply, which leads to loving Him deeply. That is why our mission statement as a youth ministry is this: the 1031 youth ministry partners with parents to equip the teens to live worthy of the gospel through lives changed by the gospel. This is who we are. This is what we do. The 1031 Youth Ministry partners with parents to equip teens to live worthy of the gospel through lives changed by the gospel. Let me just push pause right here and just acknowledge this isn't my mission statement. I didn't come up with this. I don't take credit for that. This is a good opportunity for me just to point direction, everyone's attention back to Grant Lehman, whom I think we all are just in debt of gratitude towards. Grant actually came up with this mission statement. And this mission statement was here long before I was here. And Grant, I just want to take this moment. You were the youth pastor here before me, and we as a church, we as families, we as parents, teens, we owe a great deal of gratitude and appreciation to you for the way you've led our church and the way you've led our youth ministry. So thank you. This mission statement reflects that not only are teenagers under the authority of mom and dad, but they're also functioning members of this church. See, I want teens to realize that this is their church. They're not hanging around until they get 18. But this is your church right now. 1031 Ministry is a vital part of Covenant Life Church. The teens are the church of today, and they will be the leaders in the church for years to come. And this thought fills me with so much joy and so much faith and so much excitement as I get to know different teens. And as I see them living their lives worthy of the gospel, it fills me with faith that these young men and women are going to take the church much further than we have. And I am excited to see that happen in the future. So I'm excited. And this is also motivating for me. I want to continue in our vision to equip the next generation to live worthy of the gospel through lives that have been radically changed by the gospel. So this morning I'm going to present three goals for accomplishing our mission, three goals that we're going to put in place this coming year. Number one, we want to build teens into the gospel. Number two, we want to build teens into their Bible. And number three, we want to build teens into their parents. We want to build teens into the gospel, the Bible, their parents. Let's start with the first. Number one, we want to build teens into the gospel. Verse 14, the text we just read, says, "Continue in what you have learned, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul tells Timothy that the scriptures will make him wise for salvation. And that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ only. The youth ministry here, Covenant Life Church, is committed to preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel, which is the good news of who Jesus is, his life, his death, his resurrection. And that's where salvation is found. There's no other message I could bring. There's no other youth ministry model. There's no other thing I can put in place that can take a dead heart and make it alive again. It's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can do that. So Paul is clear that salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we're always going to be gospel driven. That's why the songs we sing are going to be gospel driven. That's why the messages we share are going to be gospel driven, because it is this truth, this message of salvation that is cross-cultural, it's cross-generational, it saves and transforms enemies of God into children of the living God. That is the message that we're going to keep front and center. So our mission statement reflects that the starting place for youth ministry, it must be the gospel. But it also reflects that living worthy of the gospel can only happen when our heart has been changed by the gospel. See, it's essential that we remember teens can't change outwardly. We, as adults, can't change outwardly until we've been changed inwardly by the Spirit of God and our hearts have been changed. A quote by John Stott says, "The law says, do this and live. The gospel, though, says, you live, so do this. The law says, do this and live. The gospel says, you live, so do this." In other words, the law says, obey and you will live. The gospel says, no, you're alive in Christ. You've been changed. You've been transformed. You've been made into a child. Now go obey and live a life worthy of the gospel. The starting place for true life changed, it must be the heart. Obedience to God comes from a heart that's been changed by the gospel. And once our hearts have been changed by this gospel, by this truth, then we can live lives worthy of the gospel. So we as a youth ministry, we as a church, we are committed to getting this right. Because if we don't, we're gonna end up with a bunch of well-behaved, morally upright teens who are no closer to God than anyone else. The gospel must be the message we bring. And it's not outward conformity. As a pastor, I'm not looking for teens to fit into a Christian mold or to fit into a nice, neat Christian box. But rather, I want to present to them, as their pastor, I want to present to them a loving God who loves them so much that He sent His Son and crushed and killed His one and only Son for them. That's the loving God I want to present to them. And it is that message, the gospel of Christ, that changes them from the inside out and then equips them to live worthy of the gospel. The teen years are unique in the Christian walk, aren't they? I mean, think back, even if you weren't a Christian as a teenager, think back to where you were coming out of eighth grade and going into ninth grade. Think of the kind of person you were. And then advance 4 years. Think of the kind of person you were going out of high school, going into college. And then think about the massive difference between those two maturity levels. The reality is that teen years are filled with change. They're filled with change. They're trajectory-setting years for the rest of your life. It's in these years, these formative years, where worldviews are put in place. That's why Paul tells Timothy in the verses we just read to continue in what you've learned. Paul recognizes that Timothy's been taught the right things, and he's encouraging him, stay faithful, continue in what you've learned. They're informative years because teens are often faced with new temptations, new feelings that they've never faced before. Teens are growing into maturity and their sinful nature finds a strong ally with the world and all the world has to offer. So that is why it is critical in helping young people avoid the lies of this world. Flee from the lies of this world and pursue true life, true joy, true satisfaction in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ only. And it's in that way that youth ministry, it's an evangelistic ministry. I often tell people, youth ministry is evangelistic ministry. Whether it's someone was saved early and their faith has been tested, you hear that in so many testimonies, or whether it's someone coming to genuine faith in Christ during these years, the reality is that these are years when teens have to intentionally and thoughtfully choose to follow Christ. And that is why I am so excited to have youth being baptized in the Sunday morning celebration. It is this very reason, because my faith is just stirred. Isn't your faith stirred when you hear a teenager stand up in front of 1,000 people, 2,000 people, and identify with Jesus and say, I'm going to follow Him with the rest of my life? It just, as the church, that just builds our faith as we see the gospel going forward to another generation. And in that way, youth ministry is evangelistic ministry. And since it is evangelistic ministry, since youth are being bombarded with the lies of the world, since these are trajectory-setting years for teens, the best and the most loving thing we can do for our teens is to preach the worth, the majesty, the greatness, the beauty of Jesus Christ. And to provoke them to love Christ more passionately, to follow Him more passionately. And as a youth pastor, as one of the youth pastors, I love to report to the church that the youth are doing this. And that's what brings me so much joy. We have hundreds of youth who are passionately following God with their lives. And that's why it's such an exciting ministry to serve. And God is working, and He's calling the next generation to Himself. And those who work in youth ministry get a front row seat to watch, and it is cool to watch. So that's number one. We're going to build teens into the gospel. Number two, we're going to build teens into their Bible. To love God deeply, we must know Him deeply. To know Him deeply, we must know the Bible deeply, because the Bible is where God has revealed Himself to us. Verse 14, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. Notice that in this text, Timothy learned the sacred writings. Not only did Timothy learn them, but Paul tells Timothy to continue in them. And let your learning lead to firmly believing. See, you see the process here. You learn the sacred writings, you learn the Bible, you continue in that, and then you firmly believe. And this is my heart for the youth as well. You've been taught, if you've grown up in this church, you've been taught about the Bible. I want to encourage you to continue in that. And I want you to come to a solid faith where you firmly believe that. Why? Because Paul goes on in a very popular verse in 16, one that we all know. Because Scripture is breathed out by God. Why do we want to learn it? Why do we want to continue in our study of the Bible? Why do we want to firmly believe what the Bible has to say? Here's why. Verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. God is the author of this book. He is the one who wrote it. He inspired it. And if we think about this truth, I mean, this is just a mind-blowing truth that this God of the universe, who through a word spun everything we see into existence, this all-knowing, all-powerful, loving God, chose to communicate with you and me, humans, through a book. And that's just mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing enough that He chose to communicate with us at all. But He gave us a book that reveals who He is. And this book also helps us, like a map, to navigate this life. Because the reality is, life is a classroom. There's a lot of learning that needs to take place. And the Bible is our textbook. It's profitable. This book, this Bible, it's profitable, Paul says in verse 16. Which means it's sufficient, it's useful, it's beneficial. And it's beneficial for something in particular. It's for teaching, reproof, correction, training, in righteousness. So we do teach in 1031 on many practical aspects of a teen's lives, of a teen's life, because God's holy word informs every aspect of a teen's life. So I want to encourage teens, the way Paul encourages Timothy, to continue in what you have learned and believed, and be firm in your belief. I want to direct your attention to God's word, because God's word is profitable, it's useful, it's beneficial for all of life. So this coming year, we're going to be making some changes to help us apply this truth. I'm really excited about this. We as a pastoral team are very excited about this coming year. We're going to be bringing into our monthly structure a greater focus and emphasis on the Word of God. Now, we as a church, we as a youth ministry, we've always believed in the centrality of God's Word, the authoritative inspiration of God's Word. But we are looking to bring it into more of a monthly context in the youth ministry structure. And so it's in this meeting, my goal is to teach and equip teens to read their Bible, to study their Bible, to apply their Bible. And we're going to do this together, and I'm excited. I'm going to be introducing the teens to this coming retreat. So you're hearing about this for the first time. I've told you about a little bit about what we got going on. But in the big meeting this coming fall, we're going to have a project that kind of ties all our meetings together. It's just a small project that we're going to do that we're excited about that is going to get us more into God's Word, help us to know more of God's Word. We're going to give every teen a moleskin. You guys have seen these before. And you can decorate it however you want to. On each page of the moleskin is designated a different book of the Bible. So Genesis is on page 1, Exodus, page 2, Leviticus, page 3, and so forth, all the way to Revelation. And for each book of the Bible, on each page of this moleskin, I'm going to be leading in understanding some general information about that book of the Bible. So we just want to know a couple things. We want to know the author. We want to know the recipients. We want to know the original purpose. Why was that book written? And then last, we want just a general outline of the book of the Bible. Now, the simpler it is, the easier it is to remember. Because the goal would be to try to commit as much of this to memory as we can. So that's going to be a four-year project. I have teens for 4 years, from 9th grade to 12th grade. So this is going to be an ongoing project. But it's going to be intentional to get us more into God's Word. So I have an example. This is just the one I've done. I used to do this with a care group that I led when I was in the singles ministry. But a Genesis outline. So we have the author, we have the recipients, we have the purpose, and we have an outline. Now, it's not a comprehensive outline, but it is an outline that helps me know, okay, if I said Genesis 12, I would know about what's going on in Genesis 12. So we're going to be bringing this into our big meeting structure and to be looking at what the storyline of the Bible is and to see how all of God's Word is fitting together. So I'm really excited about this approach. I'm excited about bringing in more of a systematic approach to God's Word, more of a Bible study approach into God's Word into our youth ministry next year. And here's why we're doing this. We're creating a Bible-driven, a Bible-centered youth ministry because we want to create a foundation for young people to love God deeply. See, our study of God's Word isn't mental exercise only. It's not to puff up. It's not purely just knowledge. It's not just a mental exercise. It has purpose to it. Here's the purpose. The study of the Bible, the purpose of it is to bring us to the person and work of Jesus Christ. For that is who Scripture all points to. Verse 15 in the text we just read, the sacred writings make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Here's the reality. All of Scripture points back to Jesus as the main character. You remember in John 5? I love this story. In John 5, Jesus is talking to the masses, the Pharisees. The Pharisees are like the Einsteins of the Old Testament. They know everything about the Old Testament. They have large portions of it memorized. And Jesus tells them, and he rebukes them, and he says, you search the Scriptures and you miss the main point altogether. Because you think in them is eternal life. And he says, you miss it altogether. The Scriptures only are pointing to me. So he says, Pharisees, you study God's Word and you think in them is eternal life, and you've missed the big picture. All of God's Word is pointing to me. And that's a powerful statement. So our study of God's Word doesn't lead us to greater knowledge. It leads us to greater amazement at who Jesus is and what He's done for us. So part of this change we're making is also to our small group structure. I want small group structure to be more of a means of encouragement for teens to be getting into God's Word. We have in this youth ministry what we call connect groups. Now, these connect groups are going to be replacing what is formerly called care groups. And along with the name, we're also changing the focus of these groups. So no longer is the goal for them to function like an adult care group, but we have a really simple goal. A connect group is to connect each teen to their Bible, to connect each teen to each other, and connect each teen to serving more together in the church and in the community. So that's the goal of our small groups in the teen world in 1031. We want to connect teens to their Bible, to each other, and to serving more in the church and in the community. So I'm excited about this new focus because it really streamlines and simplifies what a connect group is for. It's going to be mixing private school, public school, homeschool, older, younger, stronger, weaker, mixing them all together and getting them to serve more together and reading their Bibles more together. And to help with that new vision, I just want to make a quick plug to other godly influences. So you have a parent-driven youth ministry, and I'm going to get to that in a second. And I love parent-driven youth ministry. But in addition to parent-driven youth ministry, I would also like just to invite other godly influences from the church, and I would want to welcome you into our youth ministry. And it's always been tough, like, where do I get you plugged in? How do you do that? Well, here's an opportunity. In our connect groups, we're going to be, remember, connecting teens to their Bible, to each other, and to serving more. I would love just to open it up to the church. If you're a single, a young couple, or if you're someone else in the church and you have a heart to serve youth ministry and you've always thought that you would love to do that and you want to get in on what's going on in 1031, this is an opportunity for you. I would love, we're going to do connect groups like a big Introducing God group or an alpha group where there is a leader identified, but there's also a team of people serving that connect group and reaching out to those in the connect group. So if you have a desire to influence the next generation, if you have the ability to give up one or two of your nights a month, we would love for you to get involved. Please, please, please email me at dbrewer@covlife.org, and I'd love to talk with you about getting involved in the youth ministry. So we want to build teens into the gospel, into the Bible, and number three, we want to build teens into their parents. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned. Listen, knowing from whom you've learned it, how from childhood you were acquainted with the sacred writings. See, Paul is pointing Timothy's attention back to his childhood. And he's pointing to the example of his grandmother and his mother before him. The first place that we see here, the first place Timothy learned the truths of the Bible were from his family, his mother, his grandmother. We see in all of Scripture that God has two institutions that He has set in place where the purpose is to disciple and train teenagers and children. Number one, it's the family. Number two is the church. And we don't highlight one at the cost of the other. We as a Covenant Life Church, we're about both of those. We want to harmonize those two institutions that God has set in place with each other so they have to support each other. We want what happens in the church to happen in the home, and we want what happens in the home to happen in the church. And the church and the family, see, they're to function together. And that's why we as a youth ministry want to create an atmosphere and a model that highlights parents as the primary influencer and discipler in a teen's lives. And even though as we get up there as your pastors and speak at 10:31, our goal is to equip teens to live worthy of the gospel, our goal of parental equipping remains the same because we believe it is in keeping with Scripture's clear focus on the family as God, as a God-ordained institution for training, and in particular the role of mom and dad. We believe and hold firmly to parents being the primary influencers in the life of the teen and the primary source of discipleship. Thus, at any one of our youth events, you're going to see parents involved in participating. And I am just so grateful to the parents of this church who have taken this role seriously. Parents, I just want to just take a moment to thank you, second only to the grace of God. We have the ministry we do today because of your involvement. And that is no small thing. Thank you, Mom and Dad, thank you. Some of the busiest times of your life are teen years. But we want to thank you for jumping in and your involvement in 1031 Youth Ministry. We couldn't do it without you. And now we are 15 years into this model of ministry. And I'm just so grateful. Now it's just expected. It's the culture that has been built. The culture is parental involvement. And it is a wonderful partnership that we have now with church and parents together in discipling and influencing teens. Now, though we're 15 years into parent-driven ministry, there are things that we've learned along the way. I think one thing we've learned along the way is that not every family falls into this paradigm of parent-driven youth ministry. We're a growing church. We as a youth ministry are growing as well, and we're recognizing that not everyone falls neatly into this paradigm of ministry. We have teens in this church who are saved, whose parents are not saved. We have single parents. We have broken families in this church. We have parents who aren't good examples themselves to their teens. And so it does create difficulty when I'm constantly pointing teen back to mom and dad when it's not always that easy. See, I can't always push teens back to their parents. There are differences, and there are families that do not fall into this ministry model. But in no way do we want you to feel excluded. You are still just as much in this ministry as anyone else. See, we want to continue to see teens won to the gospel. We want to see teens, whether you've grown up here or whether you're from some other high school in the area, we want to see teens presented with a loving God. We want to see teens presented with the kindness of God. And we want this youth ministry to be a loving and welcoming place for you to come and be involved. And we'll make any accommodation we need to make in order for you to be involved. Now, we're not going to change the message. We're not going to change the message in terms of the gospel. We're not going to change the message in building you into God's word. You're going to hear the gospel. You're going to hear God's word being taught. But what we would want to do is create a welcoming and loving place for you to experience the kindness of God. And we want to continue to love the lost as a church. We want the lost, whether the lost are kids who have grown up in this church or whether the lost are kids coming from outside the church, we want them to feel welcome and loved and to meet the Savior that has changed our hearts and to meet the Savior that has changed our lives. Because we need to remember that we all need a Savior. Every teen needs a Savior. And every teen needs to see Jesus for who He is. And just as we've been going through this series, the last couple weeks, the Love Your Neighbor series, and Josh was teaching us about reaching the needy and the hurting. Mark taught us on the kingdom, hospitality. We need this same mentality, this kingdom driving mentality in the life of the youth ministry as well. I made a plug earlier for those who want to get involved in youth ministry. This is exactly the kind of influence I would love for you if you have a heart to get involved. Because we do have families that don't have kids in the ministry, don't have moms and dads that point to. And if you have a desire to get involved, to reach out to pursue, to love teens, and you're willing to give up a night or two, please call me. Love to have you. And we'd love to put you to work. So we're going to end in just a moment. Before we get to that, we're going to see the 10:31 video, and I'll explain that in just a moment. But I wouldn't want this to end right now without an encouragement to parents. Parents, no matter where you are today, no matter where your children are today, this truth still remains that your only source of hope, the only source of hope for you, whether your kids are doing well or not so well, the only source of hope for you is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here and your kids aren't doing well, I just pray that you're reminded once again of where your hope comes from. We're not a perfect youth ministry. Not every single one of the kids in this youth ministry are passionately on fire for God. So I hope that you hear this message of gospel-driven youth ministry. I hope you're encouraged and reminded once again that we can't change anyone's heart. It's only the message of the gospel. It's only the message of a loving God sending His Son to die for our sins. That can change any heart. And parents, I hope that this morning, this Youth Sunday has encouraged you. And I hope it's brought faith to you in that way.